Hello friends, I am covering chapter number 10 now of organization behavior, which is titled as group conflicts and negotiations. When people come together, there is bound to be a difference of opinions, difference of ideas, of taste, temperament, etc. So there is bound to be certain conflicts that could happen. Now conflicts are something which people are not very comfortable with. But it is a very conflict that actually creates a lot of progress. So here in this chapter, we are getting in touch with what exactly is a conflict, at what stages it goes, and what do we do when a conflict occurs. So over to the topics. So we start off with the introduction first, then we discuss what is called as intrapersonal conflict, conflicts that happen within one person, within you. Within each of us. Intrapersonal conflict, that is with you and somebody else, and intra-group, within the group, the conflicts that happen. And then we talk about inter-group conflict that happens between two groups separate. So we have intra that happens within me, intra which happens between me and you, intra which happens within the group to which we belong, and inter-group that happens between our group and some other group. So this is how the conflicts start progressing. So let's try and understand what is a conflict. It is defined as a process that begins when one party, one individual perceives that another individual has negatively affected something that the first individual cares about. So I am having a value for something. I will use different words. I am having a value for something, or I have a perception about something with my experience, and you are saying something which appears to be a challenge to my values or my perceptions about what I do. Now the moment I perceive it, underline the word perceiving, the moment I perceive that what you are saying is a threat to me, it becomes negative. For example, I may say that I love vanilla ice cream. I love vanilla ice cream, and vanilla is the best ice cream. I'll start talking great things about it. Now you may not like vanilla at all, you may even hate it, and you may like strawberry ice cream perhaps. So you may come along and tell me, strawberry ice cream is the best ice cream in the world, not vanilla. Now what have you said? You have voiced some words of opinion from your side about strawberry ice cream. You have also said that vanilla is not good. Now if I choose to take those words as negative, as if you are challenging my values, my likes of vanilla ice cream, what would happen is I will create a fertile ground within me for a conflict to start. So conflict is a choice. Conflict is a choice. So I can choose to say, fine, that's your liking, that's your impression about vanilla ice cream, so be it. Now this is not just words. Conflicts has to be addressed at the emotional level. So for that I need to train myself to understand that every individual is different. And while I like vanilla, you like strawberry, so be it. Now you may come out with lots of expressions against vanilla. Now it's like I'm getting provoked into a conflict. It could happen. Now I can choose, depending upon the situation, whether I must respond to you or react to you. Response means I think and then I answer, in which I am handling the issue that you are discussing, not the person. I am handling the issue that you are discussing, not the person. So I might say, look, I like vanilla because of this thing, and that's your opinion. Strawberry is also equally good, and strawberry has got these plus points and all, but I prefer this. So I have responded. Chances are when I say this, you might keep quiet. Say it's okay. Somewhere my response rubs off into you for being less provoking on me. You might do that. Or you might say, you might start getting into more provocation. Who told you that? It's the best ice cream in the world, etc., etc., etc. not only talking big things about your strawberry ice cream, but also demeaning the vanilla ice cream. This could happen as a progress. If this happens, again, I must learn how to respond to the issue. Now, somebody who's listening to me might say, are you trying to say that you should be patient? No, what I'm saying is learn to look at anybody's expression, which appears to be a conflict for you, as the issue, not the person. I'll repeat. When somebody says something or does something which appears to be a conflict for you, pause. Look at the issue behind what the person is saying. And then when you address the issue, your conversation is with the issue, what happens is the conflict is very well managed by you. There's no more conflict after that. But what most of us do, we are all achievers today. We are all accomplished. And an accomplished person feels everything about he's done is very dear to him. And so if somebody says even one small bit, which appears to be against my accomplishment, I get wild. I don't respond, I react. And then we start throwing words, maybe fisticuffs, and then the whole thing becomes unmanageable after some time. Now, conflict is not about what you said. Conflict is not about what I said. Conflict is the way I interpreted what you said. The way I perceived what you said. So, when we are discussing behavior and we discuss conflicts in OB, we have to understand what is making the conflict, not the words, but the way I hold the words in my head, in my heart, in my emotion. We come across sometimes among very good buddies and friends using swear words. Does it create a conflict? No. Because the swear word is held in the minds of the friends in a very positive context as a sign of togetherness and bonding. Whereas the same swear word in another situation, somebody else will hold it in a different way in his emotion, and that can create a conflict. No, people say there are good words and bad words. I would only say words that provoke your emotions and words that do not provoke your emotions. There are no good words and bad words. There are words that provoke one's emotions and there are words that do not provoke one's emotions. And what are these emotions? They happen situation to situation. So the same word can be a good word in one situation. The same word can be a bad word in another situation. So what are the things you need to take into account? What's the situation? What's the context? And what are the words being said? If I know the situation, if I know the context and the words being uttered, then I will be able to think and respond rather than react. What is the context? What's the situation? And what are the words being said? Now, once this is understood by you, you'll know that, well, this situation, this particular situation, this context and these words are going with each other. For example, I as a production engineer, when I started my career, I was a production engineer. Hardcore plant in which there were labor, which was very militant. We had union strikes twice. There was a lockout also in the company where I worked. And everything appears negative for the outside world. Now, during that situation, there are a lot of words flying up and down. The workers start abusing us as engineers and we start telling them things. All this is contextual. There are swear words that is used in the plants, in production centers. Situation, context and the words. So when this thing is happening, a proactive manager, a proactive leader or a works manager will look at these words as some emotions that are coming out. Not taken personally. They took the effigy of the works manager and they burnt it. They made a big statue effigy, then they burnt it. Now, does the works manager take it personally? I've got insulted, blah, blah, blah. If he does that, then it's going to become a major thing. So what he does is he looks at the context, he looks at those words and he looks at the situation. And then he gets proactive. In most cases, we fail to do this thing. Since we do not understand the situation, or we don't want to look at the situation, we don't want to look at the context, and we don't want to look at the words, all the three which are creating this whole perception in my mind creates a conflict in me. Conflicts may be difference between what is expected and what really happens. I am expecting something from you, but what happens is totally different. We are creatures of habits. We are creatures that predict things to be happening. So if I am good to you today, I am good to you tomorrow, I am good to you for the next full week, I am good to you for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and one fine day, I am not good to you due to some reason, then there is a likelihood of you getting into conflict with me, I getting into conflict with you. Because what you are expecting is good behavior from me, but today I am not good with you. So there is something that actually happens different from what you expected. This can happen with most of us. It happens in many scenarios. The predictability factor. Remember, the predictability factor is what is the expectation. And when the predictability factor doesn't take place, what happens is you start getting into conflict. Now, this is very natural reaction, not a response. Conflicts may be over expectations of people, the roles that you play, the goals you want to achieve, the viewpoints that you're holding, the interests that you have, the competition for the same resources, opportunities that are available and present in front of you, the positions that you want to achieve, the markets that you want to conquer, and many other things, right? Conflicts could be inter, that is between two people, inter, intra, intra, within the person, group or organization. It goes from the micro to the macro. There's an expression in conflict management where we say that nations are at war with each other because individuals are at war within themselves. Nations are at war with each other because the individuals are at war within themselves. If I am having an intrapersonal conflict within me, I become a source. I might be a source of creating a conflict for the world outside. If my intrapersonal conflict is not resolved. If the intrapersonal conflict remains inside, some unfulfillment, some need of mine not being there. In the motivation chapter, we talked about frustration. If there's a frustration within me as an individual and everybody around me is not so, then there's a very good likelihood that I would become the seed, the starting point of a conflict within this room. So I always believe, when I take up conflict management sessions with some corporates, that first and foremost, check out who are the seeds of conflict. There are some people who are having unfulfillment on some need of their life. If I have 5 people in a room of say 100 people, these 5 people can become the seeds of conflict within the room. Since I'm unhappy within, it shows in my behavior. And since it shows in the behavior, I may get into clashes with people, and well-intentioned good people, I could be rubbing them on the wrong side. So intrapersonal conflict is the starting point of all conflicts. And intrapersonal conflicts we'll be discussing down the line are of different types. We'll see what they are. The traditional view presupposes that conflicts are undesirable. We feel that conflicts are not good. How many of us listening to me would really be when a conflict is going on in some place? 99% of people run away because people have got this very funny notion, conflicts are bad, people are using swear words, it's very negative, I don't want to be there, and they run away. When you run away from conflict, you are doing what is called as conflict avoidance. Conflict avoidance. If you are a part of a team or a group or a family where there's a conflict happening, if you run away, you know what you're doing? A conflict which you avoid. Avoiding of a conflict is equal to postponement of the conflict. Get this very clear, friends. In all the cases, you can notice you avoided some conflict because you didn't want any uncivil behavior. Many people do this. Since you avoided, it starts slowly growing up bigger and bigger. And one fine morning, the conflict becomes unmanageable. When a conflict arises, it is very tiny. There and then, if you are proactively addressing it, you will find that the conflict is slowly resolved. By the way, we use the word conflict resolution and not conflict solution. Because when you say resolve means solving again and again. Solution means one time. Since we are human beings, since we deal with each other every day newer perceptions, newer situations, newer words, newer contexts keep coming up. Because of that, what happens? I might have had a conflict with you yesterday, I would have solved it. But today when we come back again, or maybe 1 week later, another situation, another context, another set of words might create a conflict between you and me. So once it was solved last week, it was solved, again I have to solve it today, again I have to solve it next week. So we do what is called as conflict resolution, resolution. Conflicts will keep coming so long as you are living and dealing with people. Even if you don't deal with people, sitting alone, you will be getting a lot of intrapersonal conflict. To do or not to do, to eat this food or not eat this food, to take up this career or not take this career, to listen to this music or that music. Does it not happen to most of us? Intrapersonal conflict. So, conflicts are resolved and not solved. Conflict avoided is conflict delayed. Remember these things, this is the actual process that happens in life. The traditional view presupposes that conflicts are undesirable, dysfunctional, that they are not functional, they are not progressive, they actually regress the goals, destructive and irrational, and hence need to be avoided. So majority of the people who want to live and look good rather than feel good, they avoid conflict. Only to realize years down the line the same conflict has become unmanageable and big. It happens in homes, it happens in organizations, it happens in many places. The modern view, however, is that conflicts result in constructive competition and hence individual and organizational competitive ability, and they are desirable to an extent. Nobody is saying that create conflicts and let conflicts flourish. What is a conflict? Somebody is expressing something and other person doesn't like it. And then there is a lot of heated argument. If you are a proactive person, any one of you or a third party standing there, we don't do mediation. We don't try to bring about a situation wherein, don't fight. No. We don't do that. So what is done is we just ask them, okay, what's your point of view? Fine. What's your point of view? So we discuss points of view rather than the person. And from the point of view, something emerges. I am not in conflict with you as a person. I am in conflict with the idea that you're generating. And you may not be in conflict with me, I'm sure. You're in conflict with the idea that I'm generating. But you feel threatened, I feel threatened because my individuality is getting affected. Somewhere you feel that you're threatening me and you're trying to tell me this shift of focus is important. The shift of focus is important. Conflicts, if they are viewed as personal, you have had it in life. But if conflicts are viewed as issue-based, then life progresses. Then you'll be learning how to manage conflict. Right? Taking it further, the interactionist view. These are people who are interacting with people to understand each other, to bring about certain type of a group understanding and group progress. They are people who are always people obsessed. They like to mix with people, all different types of people. So their view is conflicts which contribute to enhancing a functional performance are desirable, and those which hamper relationships and functional performance are undesirable. Some amount of conflict tells you there are different ways of doing the same thing. Is it not fact? Somebody somewhere was in conflict with himself, and hence we had Newton's three laws that came up. Isaac Newton was lying down on the grass, idling away his time. An apple fell. He looked at the apple falling down. He saw the moon on the sky and he said, how can this happen? And there was an interpersonal inquiry and a conflict. A status quo, existing thing, something is there and something new he is seeing. This new thing and the existing thing, both of them are conflicting in his mind. And what did he do? He used it proactively. He started getting into inquiry. He didn't go along and create a big hangama and tell him, come on, let's fight it out. How can the apple fall down? He took it and he started inquiring, why is this happening? And then from there came the famous three laws of Newton. Is it not a fact? Now, there are some conflicts within us. All inventors, all discoverers have done what they did because there was an intrapersonal conflict. They converted an intrapersonal conflict into a progress of thoughts and action. Many times you're stuck up with a problem, your progress in your life, and somewhere your life has come to a standstill, so you feel. There's a conflict going on within you. Have I progressed? Midlife crisis some people go through. So when this particular thing comes, it shows in your behavior. You get irritated with people. Something is bothering you. Now when you sit down, pause, ask yourself a question, what exactly is bothering me? It is my inside, and you need to address the inside, not leave it at that. You can't say, oh, it's old age, everybody is going through this, so this is a fate of all middle-aged people. No. Not everybody goes through that. There are a lot of people who know to manage themselves when they go through this. So sit down. Ask yourself a question. What am I fighting inside me for? There is A and B. A is fighting with B inside. Now I have to resolve it by taking a decision. Intrapersonal conflicts, in that you have to take a decision. I'm going to do this. And whatever is the outcome, I'm going to enjoy with the outcome. Any decision has got an outcome which is positive and negative. So in a decision making, you take a decision and accept it and keep going ahead. When that which you are accepting and going ahead, something goes wrong, human mind starts thinking about the other decision which he did not take. Now that should not be the case. So that's a training, that's a self-training. You need a coach to train you into that. And gradually you'll realize, when you learn to handle your intrapersonal conflict on your own, you have become emotionally intelligent. One of the pulse points, one of the way to understand whether the person is emotionally intelligent, whether he understands other people, is to see how he's handling his intrapersonal conflict. And in this particular area, not many people are good. Let me tell you this. A lot of people are carrying intrapersonal conflicts and they rise up to become somebody in organizations, in a home, in a society. But within them, the intrapersonal conflict shows outside in the form of errant behavior, bad behavior. Because they're holding a position, people just ignore it. That person, it affects him or her. So, next comes dysfunctional conflicts are based on ego states. Dysfunctional conflicts are coming because personalities are having issues. They are having problem with each other. Since you said this, I'll not accept it. What you said is very useful for the team. What you said is useful for me. But you told me I'm not going to listen to you. Who are you to tell me? So my ego versus your ego. Self-centeredness. I am completely centered on myself. I'm very selfish. I only think about me. And then this happens. This creates negativity in the group performance. Process conflicts are concerned. This is a type of a conflict you come in organizations. Concerned with formation, structure and process of group tasks and performance. A certain task has to be done. Let's say we need to lay some pipeline and a task force is brought in. The way the team has been brought in together, the structure of the work to be done and how it is to be done, all that might create a conflict among the members of the pipeline group. It is possible. But that conflict, as per the slide says, is desirable. Why? Because it tells you how to lay the pipe properly. So this is a type of a functional conflict, I call it. The next one is talking about function conflict, but process conflict is also a function conflict. It's good. So should we do it this way or should we do it that way? Now on this, what happens? Suppose I say that the video shoot has to take place in so and so way. And my colleague who's sitting behind the camera will say, no sir, it has to be taken in this way. So both of us have a discussion. And we take the best of the two in a process conflict. Functional conflict enhances group thinking, skill sharing, creativity and increased constructive group performance. Because we are not focusing on the person, we are focusing on the issue on hand. Then we have relationship conflicts. They are related to interpersonal relations and are mostly dysfunctional. You have a relationship issue with someone near and dear to you. Now, this interpersonal relationship might become dysfunctional. I don't totally agree that it is always dysfunctional. But if you sit down, have a proactive dialogue, and then resolve it by understanding, this can be a functional conflict. In fact, relationship conflict tells you how to refine yourself. If I have a relationship problem with someone, it is not that someone is having a problem with me. I have a problem with myself. They say the first relationship that you need to solve, relationship conflict you need to solve, is your relationship with yourself. They say that the first relationship conflict that you need to resolve in life is your relationship with yourself. How do you relate yourself with yourself? If that is taken care of, in 99% cases I've seen, the relationship conflict with other people is also taken care of. That's why we use the word know thyself. Know who you are. Know what is going on within you. Don't get self-righteous and don't say that I'm the best. You're not the best. You're not the worst either. You're a combination of both. Right? An intrapersonal conflict is a conflict within oneself, as I told you earlier. It's a conflict. It arises due to conflicting needs and roles within oneself. I've got a need to go for a movie. At the same time, I have a need to be at home because there is nobody at home and the keys are with nobody. Nobody is having the keys except me. So there's a conflict, intrapersonal conflict, conflicting needs. Which should I do? I must resolve and accept it. Resolving and accepting means my emotional intelligence is increasing. If I choose to stay at home and not go for the film, and if I start sulking and I start complaining, I have not resolved the intrapersonal conflict. Instead, if I say, fine, I'm going to stay at home because I think the home people need me, they've gone out and the keys are not with anybody, I'll stay home. And with the understanding, when they come home, you're not going to be cribbing and saying, oh, I didn't go for the movie because of you, blah, 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 blah. Now that is not resolving intrapersonal conflict. Intrapersonal conflict means I accept the situation, I face the situation, and then I go further. There'll be little irritation initially. When you practice this process in number of cases, you'll find you're able to handle intrapersonal conflicts in a much more matured way. Ambiguity of goals. Multiple goals are given to me to achieve. I have to achieve this, I have to achieve that. So, and sometimes the goals are not clearly articulated. I wanted to be the best performer in this team. Now, best is very qualitative. So I'm not sure what is best. Now, I think I have to achieve maximum number of sales. So I go and get 1000 units of sales and I go and tell my boss, see, I've been a good achiever. You said, sir, I have to be a good achiever. So I'm a good achiever, the best employee. No, this is not the best I meant. I didn't want this. I want something this. So he'll keep on telling you things. Now this might be ambiguous. When your goal is ambiguous within you, you start achieving that goal which you think is correct. It's clear. What are you supposed to do? Clarify. It's very sad to see that people are all talking in generic terms. Nobody gets specific. When it comes to goal achievement and goal setting, one of the important mantras in leadership we talk about is, if a goal is tangible, if a goal is specific, if a goal is clear, then and only then you can achieve it. There will be no ambiguity. So when somebody tells you, I want a good performance from you, sir, can you define what is good performance? He may not like it initially, but there's a way of wording it. Sir, I know I have to do a good performance. Tell me what is a good performance. Please tell me so that I'm living up to your expectations. And then when you have a dialogue, you'll be realizing that he himself does not know what. He has got it from someone else. A lot of people are into generic talk everywhere, even in organizations. Nobody tells you clearly what is to be done. So you are into a state of confusion. I see ambiguity of goals in many people as a major source of intrapersonal conflict. Many people I'm seeing this. Managers, leaders, people at the junior level, I see this happening. Resolve it there and then. And when you resolve an intrapersonal conflict, life is liberating. Life is excellent. Life is fun. Trust me. And many of us are living with intrapersonal conflicts layered and layered and layered for ages. It's very sad. And so everything becomes negative. 99% of negativity in your life takes place because there is an intrapersonal conflict which you haven't resolved. And it goes on from age to age to age. Very sad. Challenges in decision making among alternatives. Another important source of intrapersonal conflict. I want to take a decision whether to do this course or that course. To go to this college or that college. I am not able to decide. So I go and ask somebody. He gives me his opinion. Then I think I should do this and I go there. And then suddenly somebody tells me, no, this is not good. Go there. Now, if your decision is in the hands of someone else, then you will be achieving what the someone else wants, not you, what you want. If your decision is in someone else's hands, if he or she decides what you want to do, based on their perception, you will be living their dreams, not your dreams. Make this very clear. This is like taking responsibility on your shoulders about whatever you take up. And it is perfectly okay if you take a decision and you fail. Failure is very, very important. When you fail, you know how to take the next decision better. If you take the decision, if somebody else takes a decision for you and you fail, then to take the next decision, you have to go to another person. So you're dependent on people. And then you will not learn the skill of taking decisions, taking a risk, failing, again taking a decision and again succeeding. This skill will not be a part of you. You will develop your skills only when you do it. Ambiguity within, on certain aspects of values, within oneself. Should I be straightforward or should I be crooked? Today everybody is crooked, so should I be straightforward? This value conflict comes within you. Many people are going through this today. You must be very clear that this is the values with which I'm going to live. No matter what is the outcome in the social front and the home front. Now when you're clear, you're not being rigid, mind you. It's not about rigidity. It's about being clear. So when I'm clear within me, I know very well this I shall not do, this I shall do. This people do not have. Many people claim, I'm a very clean person, I don't give bribes. But how many times are the traffic signals and many places you have given bribes? Think about it. Ah, it's okay. Once in a blue moon we can do that. I'm a very honest person, value. But sometimes I tell lies. No, no, for a good purpose I can tell lies. This is justification. It's a dilution of your value. Lack of emotional intelligence is another thing, which is related to whatever I discussed. Right? Now taking it further, for conflict due to frustration, intrapersonal conflict within you. I have already explained this, I'll run through it. Frustration occurs when a motivated drive is blocked before a person reaches a desired goal. I have spoken about frustration as a behavior in the motivation chapter. Barriers which stand as an obstacle may be inward or outward. I could have internal mental blocks because of which I am not fulfilling my motivated drive, my need. Or I could be having outward blocks, somebody is blocking me because of their dominance over me. Okay, frustration normally triggers a defense mechanism in a person. This is an important observable behavior in people. When I'm frustrated, I'm unhappy with something, somebody tells me something, I'll start defending myself. This is a normal thing that happens with people. If I am learning to solve my intrapersonal conflict, frustration vanishes, it's to the minimum, and then I'm in a mood to listen. People who are having frustration, people who do not solve their intrapersonal conflict are very poor listeners. Another observation I have had seen as a trainer. A person who's listening to you, you can make out that he is balanced. And within him there is no intrapersonal conflict. Even if it is there, he knows how to solve it. He has learned the skill of doing it. Defense mechanisms include aggression, withdrawal, fixation and compromise. There are some people, good people, for some reason they will be isolated. Why don't you come out for a movie, let's go and play a game or something. No, no, I am reading a book, I am alone. Or they are fixed on some aspect of life. Government is not good. So and so thing is not good. Too much of inflation. Boys and girls should not mix. Fixation. So these are all defense mechanisms coming out of a frustration in your own life. You are not with the flow of life, you are imbalanced. This is what happens in this case.